Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, the Sabres just can't seem to learn from their mistakes.
No, they cannot.
No, they cannot. Announced today, Rasmus Dahlin has re-signed with the team. Not for a long-term contract, folks. Oh, no, no, no. Absolutely not. We hate that around these parts. You know what they did? They did a three-year deal for $6 million a year, and boy, oh boy, we're walking them 1 year away from UFA. Taylor, just out of curiosity to get right into it, do you have any situations that maybe come to mind when thinking of having a promising young player who you could have the option to sign long-term to keep him locked up, but instead you end up signing them to a bridge deal and walking them a year away from RFA when they have all of the power and then choose that they don't want to be on the team anymore and you are forced to trade them for a less than ideal return? Does any of that sound like it rings a bell at all to you?
It does not.
No.
Why? Something happened?
Well, it's funny you say that because I don't know if I'm experiencing deja vu right now, but is this not the exact same thing as the Sam Reinhart situation?
I think there's a lot of similarities. And
not, maybe not exact, but yeah, there are insane parallels here.
Yeah, the main thing is the way you open, not learning your lesson. So I actually wrote this down to keep it all straight. This I want to do it a quick one, not too meandering or long. But I want to explain to people why I'm upset and not in a yelling way. So I've mentioned a bunch of times, and you've agreed also, and you've mentioned it, that we wanted a long-term deal for Reinhart. Yeah,
obviously. We did. We know you're right. You are correct.
For Dahlin. And we mentioned it, in fact, last episode. So here's why we mentioned that. So just to explain, maybe this isn't something that everyone, I know some people on Twitter, there's a little bit of confusion today about what this all means. All right, to start, I'm sure most people that understand hockey understand restricted free agency, which you can get after your entry-level deal after 3 years, which is Dahlin just entered, and that lasts for a certain amount of time. And I don't know if hockey fans have a grasp for what kind of time that is. It's either when you turn 27 or after you have seven service years in the NHL, you're an unrestricted free agent. That's when you get the real power, because restricted free agency obviously comes with the team's ability to match any contract that comes in, and a player's inability to become an unrestricted free agent if the team tenders a qualifying offer. All right, so there's a problem. We've seen time and time again, offer sheets don't really happen very much anymore. Teams get really unfair deals that they kind of force guys into because they don't have much of a choice. because of the bad offer sheet market for a lot of reasons. So what happened was with Reinhardt is he had two promising years to start and then a not good first half of 2017-18 season, a season that was a horrific season all the way around for the Sabres. And then he was really good in the second half of the year. Not enough to have really good point totals. Another thing, he's a guy that's better than his point totals. So that's another way you get a cheap guy in RFA. So what did the Sabres do? Jason Botchel gave him a bridge deal when he should have been reasonably certain that Reinhardt was good and just had a bad first half of a year. Now, there's some risk there. There obviously is risk, but that's a risk you have to take. Because what you're doing, if you don't do that, let's say you give Sam Reinhardt a two-year bridge deal, which they did. Now, Sam Reinhardt is only 2 years away from having 7 years of service time, unrestricted free agency. And what he can do, because he now has arbitration rights, is not sign a deal with the Sabres, and he could just go to arbitration if he wants. I don't even remember if he did that last year, but whatever. That's not what's important. He can do that and get a one-year deal, so then he has all the power next year, this past summer. He can sign a long-term deal if he wants, or he can go to arbitration again. And he gets to the, you know, hang back and go, well, is this going to work out or not? Is the Taylor Hall experiment going to work out? Is Eichel going to be happy? Is Eric Staal going to not be washed up? He gets to look at all those things and see what happens. And he did. And they didn't get a long-term deal done. And obviously he didn't seem particularly enthused about staying for a rebuild. But I mean, obviously we know he would theoretically have stayed in Buffalo, but who wants to be a part of what's going on right now, especially if the Sabres aren't going to match whatever you want to be making. So he goes to Florida, more competitive team. Good for him. Now, Dahlin has not had the first 3 years that Reinhardt had. He has one difference. Obviously, Dahlin came in at 18, where Reinhardt came in at his draft plus 1 year when he was actually 20 very early in that season, or maybe right away. Besides that, the point stands. He'll have 7 years of service time quickly, but before he's 27. Dahlin had a good rookie year, very encouraging rookie year, especially on the offensive side. He had one of the best offensive seasons for an 18-year-old defenseman ever. Age 19 season, bad start on the defensive end and confidence-wise, but really strong finish in terms of his production. And this past year, the beginning was a disaster, we all remember. A disaster of bad luck and a disaster of his confidence, his defensive play. We all thought that was mostly Kruger. Sure, under Granato, he improved a lot on the offensive side, not even just with luck. And the defensive side is still not good enough, but getting better, and he has this incredible pedigree. And we talked yesterday about him potentially being a John Carlson type, that not being really far-fetched at all. Wouldn't take any kind of crazy leap from him. It would take him being consistently good on offense and obviously probably playing with better players. So what the Sabres did is sign into a 3-year bridge deal. And that takes him to 1 year away from free agency. They gave him decent money. And this is why I think this is the worst deal. And I don't think it was unavoidable. What he had the opportunity to do both times was sign someone to less than their overall value because of their inconsistency earlier in their career. And that's a bigger risk with Dahlin because he's been more inconsistent than Reinhardt was. But it's, again, what we saw last time, it's a smaller risk than potentially losing him very quickly in UFA. They could lose him at age 25 in UFA. That would be terrible. It'd be like losing Sam Reinhardt when he was 26. Now, if he's terrible, then whatever. I'll rescind my complaints here, but I don't think that'll be the case. I think he'll be good enough that they still don't feel comfortable with giving him a super long-term deal, but have to, and they have to do it when he's 20, 24, 23. That's fine, whatever. But there's a few things, a few complaints people might have on that. Now, what do you think about this? The idea, let's start with, that Dahlin would not want to sign a long-term deal.
You entice him to do so. You want to sit here and tell me that Zach Werenski is psyched about being in Columbus right now? Do you want to tell me that at the time of his signing that Thomas Chabot was hyped to be a part of the Senators? You figure it out. You do. I mean, it just is. It's unbelievable that we are doing this all over again. And to your points, you are 100% correct that there are parallels, but it's not the same. Reinhardt was much better at the time of signing his contract and felt like more of a sure thing compared to Dahlin. No doubt, no doubt about it. But this just goes back to the premise of betting on guys to hit their potential. As you had said, you know? And so when we're talking about something like that, I mean, I think the other thing that goes along with this too, you know, with the whole like waiting to sign him thing, or for signing him, like not being able to sign him long-term because he might not be interested in it. I think a huge problem is that you waited way too long to get this deal done. You could have been, this deal could have been signed last offseason. Like you could have locked him up longer term than this last summer. You didn't have to wait until the day that the players reported to training camp. So what does that leave us? That puts us, this offseason begins, the past offseason starts a slew of UFAs, along with some included in that, some pretty promising ones. Quinn Hughes now remaining as the only defenseman of the bunch that hasn't signed. But you just allowed these other players to set the market.
Yeah.
That's on Kevin Adams. Full stop. You could have done this last year. Yeah, you didn't know how this year was going to go. And sure, if you sign him last year to an 8-year deal or something like that, and then he has the start to the year that he has with Kruger, everybody's losing their goddamn mind. But again, what are you doing as an organization if you don't believe that you can develop your star players, like your star young players? You drafted him first overall. Like you drafted a defenseman number one because you felt as though he could be a cornerstone franchise defenseman. It's the same reason why they took Owen Power. I mean, granted, of course, Power wasn't nearly as much of a lock in his spot as Dahlin was, but as we now know, it's pretty close considering how highly regarded Power was. So I just think that you absolutely, and granted, of course, we don't know, you know, the ins and outs of this shit, but I have a hard time believing that you couldn't have gotten a longer term deal locked up that maybe you tack on a couple extra dollars to what maybe the initial, I don't know what the initial ask would have been, whatever. Maybe you are able to get him at a lower AAV if you go long term. And I understand. Yeah. People saying, oh, they're a dumpster fire. Why would he want to sign here? But again, other teams can figure it out. Why can't we? You think Columbus is a good situation to sign in? Do you think Ottawa, let alone, we're talking 2 years ago, Ottawa for Chabot. You want to tell me that dude was like, you know what? We're winning a cup, baby. 2 years ago with all the turmoil going on in the Senators organization, get the hell out of here. The Sabres' biggest issue was waiting until now to get this done, because I'm telling you, if Dahlin's camp was playing hardball, why did you have to wait this long then? If you knew that this was going to be the impasse, why did you have to wait until now? And another eerie similarity too, Reinhart, when he signed his bridge initially, he did it right before the season started. And it's the same thing that we did here where you're dicking around with these guys. You should have done it. If not last summer, that should have been priority number one. Kevin Adams should have known that this Eichel bullshit was going to happen. You know, like, I'm sorry, but like, you need to have a fucking grasp on your organization that you're just like doing all, I keep thinking of is just like posturing and just like waiting around. Like, you know that the situation's bad with Eichel. And you just waited to take care of this with your supposed franchise defenseman, your defenseman of the future, who is supposed to be like the guy for you on the blue line. I mean, there's no reason for it. You could have gotten this done. You absolutely could have.
Yeah.
It's their own fault. If they would have signed it earlier, it probably would have felt better than them doing this right now and feeling like they had their backs against the wall. And I think the thing that needs to be said too, before I wrap up, is like, good for Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, yeah, he's betting on himself, but like, this dude's walking them a year away from his UFA. He saw what happened with Reinhart. Everybody knows. I mean, you mean to tell me that dude didn't realize that was the case?
He saw what happened with Jeff Skinner.
Yeah, true.
True. I mean, it's one of those two things. I mean, he saw both of those situations.
That's
so the other
very,
thing is,
very true.
So I think there's a difference between Werenski and Chabot and Dahlin, which is that, yes, those guys might not have been psyched to be in their places long-term, like Dahlin might not be either. But, well, I mean, Werenski, I don't know. Columbus has gotten worse, I guess. Yeah, they'll be probably bad. Either way, whatever. That's not the only issue. Those guys were paid mostly what they were worth. Are they given fair enough deals? What I said earlier, what the Sabres should try to do with Dahlin, which I'm sure what they're trying to do, was try to get him for cheap long. And a little bit less than he might deserve in a few years. And then you have him on a good deal. However, that is, I think, probably the holdup. I don't think he's like, I don't want to see what happens in Buffalo. I'm not interested in being here long-term, whatever. I don't think it's just that. I don't think it's mostly that at all. I think there's a good chance they were trying to play, you know, hardball in the deal. And now, then when it comes down to it, it's like, do you give Dallin 8 by 7.5? I mean, that's an unbelievable risk. That's what they didn't do that exact contract for Risto, but they gave Risto way too much money. And that was a problem. With, you know, they had a lot of hope that he would get better. And Dallin's been better than Risto had been at that time. But still, that's an even bigger risk. And that's a risk I don't know. I'm more kind of hesitant to take. So what do you do in this situation? You say, Dallin, you want to bet on yourself? Three-year bridge doesn't work for us for a lot of reasons. Why would we do that? Here's what we would do instead. We'll give you 1 year, $7 million. Doesn't matter because you know they need to get to the cap floor regardless.
1 or 2 years. That's right.
Well, I would say one specifically. If this is what you open with, at least 1 year, $7 million, or 7.5, or whatever. Name your number. It doesn't matter. We need to get to the cap floor. And then next summer we'll talk about it, and maybe we're more confident in giving you more money long term.
Maybe he'll be and more confident in the team by that point.
Yeah, but so I'm sure. I mean, I hope they offered that at least, because at that point, with a 1 year bridge, you're saying, okay, do you want to go to arbitration 3 times? Probably not. That's kind of a risk. I mean, that would be tough, and they'd be more hesitant to trade you than Reinhardt. So I think in that case, there's a risk there with injury. There's a risk he doesn't get better. Who knows? 3 years is, it doesn't need to be said. It's longer than two. It's definitely longer than one. So at that point, maybe you're scared if you're Dallin and you go, yeah, man, I don't want to do that, so I'll sign a deal, whatever. But either way, this summer, is Dallin really going to hold out because they only give him a 1 year bridge? Is he going to miss camp? And then if he does, if he's really, really playing hardball and really only wants a 1 year bridge, I would be, if I'm Kevin Adams or the Sabres or whatever, this is what I'm leaking to the media. We're giving him a bunch of money for 1 year to a show us contract because, you know, we're not up against the cap wall or anything like that. So no big deal. Or we offered him a long-term deal for a little bit less money than he might be worth, but he has long-term security. What does this guy want? We're offering him the best of both worlds. And then he looks bad. And hockey players don't love sitting out like this. Like Nylander did it. I can't think of many. I mean, Michael Pekka did once upon a time. That was a different situation in a different league. But I don't see a lot of the guys, especially young guys who haven't proven a lot, wanting to look bad like that after the kind of year Dallin had for the first half of last year. I'm not sure. And you could say, yes, they'd be opening a rift with a player, but he's the one opening the rift in that situation. And I don't know if he wants to do that as someone who is on a team where he might be expected to weirdly step into a leadership role. He's one of the longest tenured guys. He's the longest tenured defenseman. I think that would be a pretty big risk for him. And that's why if you're telling me you can't get that done, you can't get anything done. If
you think,
yes, if the Sabres are ever going to be good again, then Kevin Adams has to be able to overcome the obstacles that have been placed in front of him by previous administrations' incompetence. They exist, obviously. It's not good. And we always talk about how mistakes compound in professional sports. But at some point,
it happens with this franchise more than others too.
Yes. The way you get over that is not just drafting well. It's being able to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, or whatever people say in that weird phrase. I don't think that's actually possible, in my opinion.
Salad out of chicken shit, did you just say?
Yeah.
That is not what that saying is.
Or turn chicken shit into chicken salad. I don't remember. The important thing here is you have to be able to make the best of these situations. And the best of this situation is either a 1 or 8 year deal. That's it. Because you need to get that value. When you have a restricted free agent, you have the power. I know this Eichel situation kind of takes away from some of your power, but you still have that power. What you do when you give him a bridge deal is you hand that power to Dallin.
Yep.
It's not just about giving him a smart contract at that point. At that point, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. At the end of that 3 year deal, let's say, well, at the end of 2 years, 2 years from now, on July 1st, 2023, he'll be eligible for an extension. Mm-hmm. And what if his agents are like, wait and see? You have to wait and see 2 whole years, obviously. And that, like I said, that's not easy, but it's a lot easier than doing wait and see for 4 years or 3 years.
Yep.
And then that's that's my main problem. So really, I will admit I'm wrong on this. If he's so bad that he's not worth an 8 year deal and we're fine to get rid of him in a couple of years to the same way we're worth Risto. In that case, I'll say, whatever, I was wrong. But if he comes back because the team got better In that case, I won't say I was wrong, but it's like, whatever. If the team's good enough that he wants to stay because of that, all right. But if it's just that he likes the coach, he likes it here, he's ready to get a deal, and they have to give him 8 years, $80 million in 2024, I'm not going to love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. It's just that the thing that just kills me, and it's the same thing with Reinhardt in reality. It's the same thing with Eichel, with all of these situations under this ownership, is that it's just a bunch of stuff that's avoidable. Avoidable. And they just continue to just trip over their own feet. It's insane to me how on every level of this organization, I mean, just think about the past week alone, that we have this with Dahlin. Okay. We had a few days ago or yesterday, whenever, with like the promotional nights with like people getting upset about, like, you know, them putting Hometown Heroes night on January 6th. But like, but even beyond that, that like the promotions nights, four of the nights were wearing a white jersey. Come on. That's not a promotion. You mean to tell, like, do these people sit down?
It's not even a whiteout.
No. Do these people sit down and are just like, okay, what can we do? We have 5 minutes to come up with this. And then they just take the worst ideas that are come up with in 5 minutes. It's insane. Then you have going into late last week, allowing Aaron Dell, who is now number 80, because everybody on Twitter, everybody and their fucking brother was furious that they would allow a guy who is very well could end up being their third string goalie to wear the number of a guy who has, whose number has not been worn since he left the team, and who is without question, I would say, probably a top five most important player in the history of the franchise. And yeah, that, like, it's all these just avoidable things that, like, whether it's the front office, the fucking PR staff and promotions people, like the coaching, whatever, like, take five minutes and think, is this the best we can do? Is this the best that we can handle these things? Like, that's all they need to do. And they just never do. It's like it's automatic that, like, they just do shit. We all get mad about it. Half the time they try and clean up their mess after the fact with Dell, for example, or it's the other side of it where you hit the point of no return and it's like, well, we're fucked now. I mean, like, what more do we need to happen to us? What more, like, anger and annoyance do we need inflicted on us as fans that, like, at some point, whatever fucking higher power is out there is going to be like, you know what? We need to give these guys a break. Like, we're getting mad about the most ridiculous shit because it's stuff that, like, people who are professionals, who are paid lots of money to do all of these jobs that I'm talking about here, that they just trip over themselves. Like, what are we doing? What is with this organization? And honestly, that's why anytime people blame everything on the Pagulas, how can you get mad? Because clearly this has to, like, come from the top. It's the top down. Like, they allow this shit to happen over and over and over again. And we just have to deal with this incompetence. It's so frustrating.
So that's bad, but you know what's good?
What?
DraftKings. Folks, week two of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 in any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week three game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If DraftKings Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet in any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-WITH-IT.
Well, thank you for that, Taylor. We unfortunately have to wrap things up right now on this discussion, but I think for our Monday episode, we are going to take a nice little deep dive into this a bit more, and we'll talk more about Darlene, more about just like the just general organizational failures. And who knows, by that point, we'll probably have some news for y'all on Jack Eichel, hopefully, you know, with Kevin Adams and Don Granato set to speak tomorrow, tomorrow being Thursday, of course. So Monday's episode, make sure you're tuning in because we are going to be getting after it. We're the season's underway here, folks. Season 3 for us is going to be starting soon. And with that being said, also, we are going to have our big excitement coming very, very soon, a big announcement coming very soon. So make sure you guys are tuning in and we will talk to you soon. Taylor, do you have any thoughts you'd like to share before we sign off?
Yeah. We're also going to look more into the Evander Kane situation on Monday's episode. I know that probably I haven't really mentioned it, but I only saw it in passing a little bit, but I'll have more thoughts on it Monday. So it isn't good.
Monday.
Yeah. So my only thought now
is, everybody, this is just a little taste of what's to come on Monday.
Yeah. The NHL and the San Jose Sharks probably have to take a long look at that and consider whether it's a good idea for him to still be in the league this coming season.
Agreed. Yes. That and more coming on Monday. So make sure you guys are sticking around. Make sure you are subscribing to us on your streaming platform of choice. And make sure you are checking out the Hockey Podcast Network online at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you stream your podcasts. Once again, new episode coming Monday. In the meantime, though, have a great rest of your week and a great weekend, everybody. This has been Straight Up Sabres.